Our first scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, selected verses. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Then the Pharisees said to him, you are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, because I know where I have come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is valid, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is valid. I testify on my own behalf, and the Father who sent me testifies on my behalf. Then they said to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. They said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, why do I speak to you at all? I have said to you, I have much to say about you and much to condemn, but the one who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free? Jesus answered them, very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household, and the son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is from God hears the words of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you are not from God. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your ancestor Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Before our next scripture reading, I also want to offer a word of thanks and welcome to our guest choir director this morning, Rosemary Collins. Rosemary, it's good to have you with us this morning. Thanks for sharing your talent. Some of you may know Rosemary. She's the choral director at Clearwater High School, just across the street. And we're glad to have you with us today, Rosemary. Our next scripture reading also comes from the Gospel of John. I'll be reading some selected verses from John 17. For those of us who are familiar with the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter of John is a prayer. The entire chapter is Jesus praying for his disciples, and then in turn praying for us as those who will come to believe. And so as we listen to these words this morning, these are the words of Jesus praying for us. Let us listen for God's word in our lives. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from evil. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. Today we bring our series, What is Truth, to a conclusion. Well, as much a conclusion as we can come to with that question. But before we begin today's conclusion, I want to, as usual, just give us a brief summary of where we have been. This all started as we listened to the conversation between Jesus and Pilate. And this conversation had Jesus telling Pilate that the reason he came into the world is to testify to truth. Jesus' primary purpose is to testify to the truth. And Pilate asked, what is truth? And Jesus answers with silence. And so we spoke about how silence becomes then the womb of truth. Silence is the place where we begin to discover truth. When we are silent, when we are still, when we are listening, when we close out the noise around us and we listen, this is where truth is born. And what comes out of that silence are our thoughts and our feelings. And our thoughts and our feelings then become the seeds of truth. And we talked about how our thoughts are to be the thoughts of Christ, that we are called to have the mind of Christ, and we are to think on the things that Jesus shows us in His life. And from those thoughts and those feelings come words. Last week we talked about language and what a marvelous gift it is to us, but how limited it is. Words have limits because the words and the arrangement of those words in our languages are merely symbols for a reality that lies behind them. So we have limitations with the way we express ourselves. And as we draw this to a conclusion, I want us to look this morning about how truth is also experience. The way we experience our existence, the way we experience life. And that experience is something that can never, ever be totally articulated and communicated from one person to the other, because each and every one of us own experience and have experience. But what grows out of experience is explanation. We do want to communicate our experiences and hear the experiences of others. And so we begin to explain with language, with symbol. And from this explanation of our experience grows belief. We begin to believe by way of the explanation of our experiences. And then from a religious perspective, from belief, the next step is doctrine. The beliefs are written down, and we believe that this doctrine is the truth. But as human history tells us, doctrine very quickly can become idolatry. Because what was once was an experience of the presence of God has now been nailed down through explanation and belief and is doctrine. And all of a sudden, the truth of the experience is now an idolatrous doctrine that we have replaced the experience with. It's a very common dynamic. We see it throughout our scriptures. Over and over again, the people in the Bible go through this process from experiencing the presence of God to idolatry. And that's when the prophets come in and call the people back to the truth. Now, Jesus faced this same dilemma. Jesus had the same problem. Throughout his ministry with his disciples, he was constantly trying to explain the reality of the truth that he was the presence of God. And in turn, that they were the presence of God. Jesus continually tries to do this. He does it through parables. He does it through teachings. One way he does it, we got a glimpse of in our reading this morning from the 8th chapter of John, which, by the way, if you read that whole 8th chapter, it can be one of the most convoluted things you have ever read. And partly because Jesus is trying to explain this ultimate mystery, which really can't be explained, only experienced. But he says, "I am the light." "I am the light" is one of seven "I am" sayings in the Gospel of John. We're all familiar with most of them, but they are, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. He's continually saying, I am this. And notice how all of these are very open-ended symbolic statements that we can enter into with our own experience. But he gets so frustrated in teaching the disciples. And even in this reading we read this morning, he says, you just don't understand, do you? And he finally kind of throws up his hands because he starts talking about how he's only trying to fulfill what Abraham was telling him and what Moses was telling him. All of the teachers of the Bible have been saying the same things over and over again. And Jesus says, I'm just like Abraham. And they said, how could you be like Abraham? And Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Notice how all of Jesus' I am sayings are eventually reduced to simply, I am. It's the same I am of Genesis when Moses was at the burning bush and says, who are you? And the voice from the bush says, I am. Pure being. Ultimate existence. I am. And so Jesus eventually just comes to saying, I am. And that's what he tries to tell the disciples. That's what he's trying to tell us, that we are too. But he has this interesting phrase. He says, but you know, I am from God, but if you're not from God, you're not going to understand what I'm trying to tell you. Now we take that as being, oh well, I'm just not holy enough. Jesus is perfect. He's from God. And so we're just not holy enough. We're just not worthy enough. We're just not capable of that. When in actuality, the language of this tells us something entirely different. One little preposition. The Greek preposition ek gets translated from God. You are not from God. I am from God. You're not from God. But ek is actually a preposition that means the primary denoting origin. It can be from, it can be by, it can be out of. It's a preposition that denotes primary origin of place, time, and cause. And so when Jesus says, I am from God, but you can't understand this because you're not from God, it's because we are not grasping our primary origin. We don't understand this. And because we don't understand it, we sin. Now, again, I want to look at the language here. Sin is not that we are all no good, dirty, rotten scoundrels. From the time we were born, we were sinners. No. Sin, the language tells us, simply means to miss the mark, to be mistaken, to wander from the path. We just don't get it. We don't see that we really are from God. We forget who we are. And Jesus comes to remind us of who we are. And Jesus prays for us that we will remember our primary origin in God, that we will remember who we are, created in the image of God. And that we will remember we are one with God. How can we miss this when we read this prayer of Jesus in the Gospel of John, when he says, my prayer for everyone is that you know that you are from God. God is in me, and I am in you, and we are all one. Can't be explained. We can't put language to it. We can only experience it. We can only live it. And this is where our whole exploration of truth brings us back to the beginning. How many myths in human history, how many stories teach us that our journey will always bring us back to the beginning? And by coming back to the beginning, we discover who we really were when we started. And the cosmic version of this is, as human beings, our task is to remember who we are. It can't be explained, it has to be experienced. And we circle back to silence, because it is in experiencing the presence of God that we begin to think differently. And in thinking differently, we pay more attention to our language. And as we pay more attention to our language, it changes our lives, how we relate to one another. And yes, we develop beliefs, but those beliefs don't get hard and brittle in doctrinal statements that we worship. But they stay fluid, because we realize that other people have experiences just as we do, experiencing the presence of God. It's when we make the mistake of turning our experience into God rather than our experience as the presence of God. That's when we start getting in trouble. And that's when we start claiming that our truth is the real truth, when in actuality, we all participate in the truth Now, I know everyone is begging for a definition of truth. We want that. Okay, preacher, what are you going to give us to walk out the door with? So here it is. Truth is living out the experience of pure ultimate being. When we remember who we are, that we are pure ultimate being, and we live into that with Jesus as our guide, then we know the truth. And we can begin to understand Jesus when he says, I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. We can begin to understand that knowing the truth sets us free. In our day and time, with all the noise going on, with all the explanations, with all the beliefs, with all the doctrines that have been turned into idolatry, our task is to remember who we are. And as we remember who we are, we begin to hear the truth around us and in us. Amen. How can I keep from singing? When we remember who we are, how can we keep from singing? You know, last night we had fun here in this sanctuary. We had a jazz group, wonderful musicians. And at one point during the evening, the aisle right here was filled with women dancing. Yeah, Presbyterian women. Peg came down and sat next to me afterwards and said, are we in trouble? I said, well, since a third of our session was out there dancing, probably not. But, you know, there was a meme on the internet this week. My daughter sent it to me. I'd seen it before. It's a picture of a big steeple church. And the meme says, there was a Presbyterian church that had motion detector lights in its sanctuary. And in the middle of worship, the lights went out. My friends, we don't want the lights to go out, because knowing the truth sets us free to live, to be who we are. And this is not a license to do anything you want to, because Jesus is our guide. And as we look around this world today, if we see violence, if we see oppression, if we see hurting people, if we see war, if we see prejudice, when we see those things, we know that we are not experiencing truth. Because truth is the way of Christ. Because Christ is the way. Christ is the truth. And we are called to live who we are created to be. Let us go from this place and live into the truth. Amen.